Begin the current daf Masechta Avodah Zarah daf Ches. Begin 13 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the third mishnah in the series of this parak, discussing the halachas of lefnei edehin before the holidays of the idolaters. So says the mishnah, ve'elu edehin shalev yikachavim. And these are the holidays of the idolaters, which we said in the opening mishnah, and we elaborated on the previous mishnah that it's forbidden to do business dealings with them and other things 3 days before their holidays, and they are kalenda usitarnura, Ukratesim, which the Gemara is going to explain what all these holidays are, Vim Genusia Shel Malchayim, and the day of Genusia, which the Gemara is going to explain what that is of the kings, Vim Haleda, and the birthday of the king, which all the constituents of that kingdom make that into a holiday every single year, and they bring sacrifices, Vim Amisa, and the day that he dies, Div Remeir, that's the opinion of Remeir. Now, Bachamayim, they say, it depends. Kol misa sheyesh basrei, for any death of a king that has the procession of burning, where they would burn all his utensils the way they do it for kings, then yesh babitz kechav, then there's an element of idolatry over there. In other words, then they go that day and they serve their avodah zarah, which is for them a holiday. And this is what they do every single year in the reign of his heir, his son. And all the things that we're mentioning in the Mishnah are distinguished things, which are considered chashav for them. So that's a holiday, and therefore it's forbidden 3 days before. But v'she'im b'sreifa, if they don't do for this king an element of burning, then im b'avodah kechav, then it's not so distinguished for them, and therefore it's not considered that they're going to make it into a holiday for the avodah zarah. So that's these that are considered holidays where it's forbidden even 3 days before. Aval, but says the Mishnah, yom teglacha zikonai. But on the day when the individual cuts his beard, which is not a set time for the public, rather every single person, when he cuts his beard, he makes a holiday for his idol, or uvli risai, which is that when they would cut their hair on their head, so sometimes they would leave a ponytail in the back, and they would cut the pony, which was from a whole year, once a year, and the day that he cuts it, he would make it into a holiday. Or v'yem sha'olabai min hayam, or the day that he'd come out safe from the sea, he'd bring sacrifices to his deity because he was saved from the sea. Or v'yem sha'yatzim b'beis asrum, the day that he comes out of jail. Or v'ayv kechav m'shasim mishti l'bnai, or idolater that makes a wedding feast for his son. Eina asr eila oisa yom, it's only forbidden that day, meaning and not before and after, because it's not so chashiv. And v'aisa ishbalvat, only for that person, here it's not going to be for everybody as it is on those public holidays of Kalenda and all those type. Now the Gemara explains what these holidays are. Amar Chan Barava, Kalenda, Ches Yamim Achar Tkufa, is 8 days after the winter solstice, which is called Tkufas Tevis, which is the shortest day of the year. After that winter solstice, they would make eight consecutive days into this holiday called Kalenda, as the Gemara is going to explain what's the source of that holiday. And Sartarnura is Ches Yamim Lefnei Tkufa, is 8 days before the winter solstice. And v'semoneich, and the mnemonic, not to mix it up, to say that Kalenda is the one that comes before the solstice, because that would make sense in chronological order. Don't mix that up. Rather, Kalenda that we're mentioning first is the 8 days after, as we'll see shortly. Actually, that's what happened first. And in contrast to Sartanura, is a pasuk in Tehillim. Acher v'kedem sartani v'gaymer. Adam Rishon says, back and front you form me. But in the pasuk, the back is said first. So too in our Mishnah, the holiday that's after the solstice, which is Kalenda, is the one that's mentioned first. Now, it's not incidental that the Siman is talking about the creation of Adam Rishon, because actually that's where the holidays of Kalenda and Satanur actually, on some level, devolve from. Because Tarnabon, in the Braisa, Lefi Shara Adam Rishon, because the first man, Adam Rishon, saw, Yom Shemismait V'haylich, he saw the days starting to get shorter and shorter, from Tishrei until Teves, as the days get shorter. Amar, he said, Oili, woe to me. Shem and Bishvil Shasarachti. Maybe it's because that I sinned. Oilam Chashach Badi, the world's getting dark because of me. V'chayzu L'toyvo, it's going back to what it was before the creation, back to emptiness and nothingness. V'zuhi Misa Shekant Niknas Alam and Shem. This is the death that was told, that was decreed upon me from heaven, because he was told he's going to die. And he figured, uh-oh, this is what it means. The world's coming to an end. It's getting shorter and shorter till it's going to be nothing. So Amad V'yashav Ches Yamim B'Tainis B'Tfilah. So he stood and he sat for 8 days in fasting and in prayer. Now Kivin Sharat Kuvas Tevis. Once he saw the winter solstice, V'ra Yom Shemach V'Halach, and then he saw that the days are starting to get longer. Oh, Amar, he said Min Hagay Shalaim. This is the custom in the world. This is how the world is. That it waxes and wanes. It gets longer and shorter. Halach V'Asa Shemayni Yam Tevim. So he went and made 8 days of festivities. Now Lashon Acheres. In the next year, He made the 8 days of his fasting beforehand and the 8 days that he had celebrated afterwards, both into holidays, which who kavim l'shem b'shemayim. Adam Rishon had made these days for the sake of heaven as a way of thanking Hashem. V'heim kavim l'shem ha'betzikah kavim, as in general has idolatry evolved in the days of Enosh, misusing and misinterpreting the spiritual energies from Hashem. Here they went and they distorted that and perverted that from thanks to Hashem into worship to the Avodah Zarah, to the different constellations, Saturn, and all these different ways of worshiping Avodah Zarah. Now, ask the Gemara, but Bishlam el mandam and Tishrei b'Elul. This whole narrative makes sense according to the one who says that in Tishrei the world was created. So Adam Rishon was created on Tishrei. So Yom Yizuti Chaza, he only saw short days. Yom Arichta Kati Lechaza, he never saw long days. So in Tishrei, it's short and it gets shorter and shorter and shorter. So it makes sense why he thought the world's coming to an end. According to the one who says the world was created in Nisan and Adam Rishon was created in Nisan, so he already saw short and long days. He saw the long summer days in the Tkufas Tamas. So he should have known that this is how the world is. Why was he all concerned? Because he already saw it gets long and short. Why is he concerned now that it's getting shorter? Says the Gemara, but the havizuti kulehai lo yichazah, but he never saw the days get that short. The winter solstice is the shortest the day ever gets. And a little bit after four, it's getting dark. That he didn't see. He saw long and short days in the summer, but he never saw that short, and therefore he was concerned that the world is coming to an end. And when he saw that it wasn't, he made festivities, and then it turned into the 8 days before and the 8 days after, which is these two Avodah Zarah holidays of Kalenda and Sartanura. Now, related to this narrative regarding the year, the days getting shorter, so Tarmon learned the Brisa said that Yom Shenivra by Adam Rishon, the day that Adam Rishon was created, which was on Erev Shabbos, Kivish HaShakal Avchama, once the sun started setting, Amay said, Oili, woe to me, Shebeshvil Shesarachti, because I had sinned, Oilim Choshech Badi, the world's getting dark in front of me, V'yachso Oilim Otoivavoy, the world's going back to emptiness and nothingness, because he didn't know he was created on day, and he sees light, and that's what the world looks like. When it's starting to get dark, the world's coming to an end. V'zuhi Misa Shenikness Alem Neshavayim, and this is the death which was decreed upon me from heaven. Hayyeshu b'tanis, he was sitting and fasting. Uvoicha kol alayim, and was crying the whole night. V'chava b'chay connected, and Chava, his wife, was crying opposite him. Kimin sh'olam murashacha, once reached the break of dawn, Amar, he said, Oh, min hagish alayim, this is the custom of the world. Amad v'hikrav shar, so to celebrate that and things, he got up and he sacrificed an ox. Shekarnav koidmin lefarseisam, that its horns came before its hoofs. What that refers to is, like the Gemara says in Chulin, all acts of creation were created in their full stature. When now an ox, therefore, was created with its horns already grown, now since they came out of the ground and they came from its head first, so the horns came out before the hoofs, which is usually not like that. Here the hoofs come first, and then the horns only come at a later point in time. Here the horns came before the parasites of Shanem, like it says the Pasuk in Tehillim, that David HaMelech says to Hashem, V'sitav l'Hashem, that it should be good to Hashem, my prayer, better than Mishar, than the ox, which was an ox on the day that it's born, because the day that an ox is born, the Pasuk already calls it a Shar. Like it says, Shar Chesav Aizki Yivalid, which, that it was already made and complete, like a par, like a bull, which is only called that after it's 3 years old, because it was already created in its full stature. And that was Makrin Mafris, that was horned and hoofed, which, as the Bach puts in, meaning first came the horns and then came the hooves. And that was the shur that Adam Rishon was sacrificed when he saw that it's just a night and then the day comes after that. Now, Vamar Behud Meshmul, he says, Shur Shaker of Adam Rishon, the ox that Adam Rishon sacrificed, Karen Achas Haisula B'mitzchah, only had one horn on its forehead. Shlomak says in the Pasuk, V'sitav L'Hashem Mishur Par, David Melch says, let my prayer be good to Hashem more than the ox which was a bull, makrin, mafris, horned, and hoofed. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean, makrin, tarti, mashmi? The word makrin is plural, that sounds like two horns. What do you bring from there that it was one horn? Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, mikeren k'siv. It's written without a vav. Why is it without a yud? Why is it without a yud? To read it, not makrin, but mikeren, from the horn, meaning that it only had one horn. Now the Gemara says, Bayi Rav Masni says, so this halacha that we're saying regarding the Roman holidays of Kalenda, which is forbidden to do business with them 3 days before, possibly 3 days after. So the Romans that do calendar, which they instituted at that day, is when they sacrifice animals. Now, v'chol ha'yaris ha'smuchas lan, all the cities around Rome, we know that they are mishtabdis law, that they're enslaved and in servitude to Rome to pay taxes and to bring them whatever they need. Now, but ois na'yaris, those cities, they don't celebrate calendar. They're from a different civilization, culture. Are there going to be asuris to do business with them 3 days before and to say, well, since they're indebted in servitude to Rome, so whatever they're going to buy now, they're going to bring to Rome that the Romans can sacrifice on their holiday? Ay mutaris, or is it, or and therefore it's forbidden? Ay mutaris, is it permitted to do business with them since they themselves don't sacrifice and don't celebrate calendar, and it's not their holiday, so therefore it's not forbidden to do business with them? So Rabbi Shuban Levi Amri says, kalenda asura lakoli. No, kalenda is forbidden for everyone. The Roman civilization conquered the world, and everyone is indebted to that. Therefore, you can't do business with an idolater, with a non-Jew, on the 3 days before. Rabbi Yechon Amri says, no, ein asura elo levadel bovad. It's only forbidden for the Romans who serve those deities, and for them it's forbidden, but those who are indebted to them, it's not forbidden. And the Gemara says, tani kapasid Rabbi Yechon, remember the Braisa that supports the Rabbi Yechon. The Braisa says, Ava Pisha Amru Raimi Asa Sakalenda, although we said that Romans celebrate Kalenda, and Bechalayara says, Smuchas La Mishtabdisla, and all the cities around it are indebted to Rome, but He Atzma, which in other words, but the whole essence of the prohibition, Eina Sura Elo Levdel Bavada, is only forbidden for those who actually serve and celebrate it, not for those cities around them. Now, the end of the Braisa, and the Gemara later on is going to explain it, says, Sutronalia Ukratesim Vim Gnusi Shamachayim, and v'yim shehum l'chabay melech, in the day that they coronate a king, lafan of aser, before the holiday it's forbidden to do business with them, but achrav mutar, after the holiday it's permitted. Now, v'ayvi kachav mish'asa mishtla b'nai, an idolater that makes a wedding, a feast for his son, where he's going to worship his deity, that he came to such a great milestone, ein asa elo isayim v'aysa ish. Like we said in the Mishnah, then it's only forbidden that day, and for that man, not before and not for everyone. Amar Vashi says, Avena Namatinina, we also learned, like Rabbi Yechanan, that the cities that are Meshubit to Rome are permitted to do business with them. It's because Iktani, like we learned in our Mishnah said, Yom Tiglacha Zekana Ubalarisa, when a person shaves off his beard or once a year his ponytail, V'yem Sha'ala B'Yamalayam, the day that he comes out of the sea, or V'yem he survives a shipwreck, V'yem Sha'yotza B'Yamisasur, or the day he comes out of jail, Einase Eloisa Yim Bovad, V'yseish, it's only forbidden that day and that man. Now, says the Gemara, Bishlam Oisayim, we understand the stress of what it means to say that day, is Lafuki Lafan of Al-Akhav is coming to exclude, like we saw by Kalenda and all those other ones, that it's not going to be forbidden here before and after. Elo Oisayish, when it says only for that man, Lafuki Ma, what's that coming to exclude? Obviously, someone that did not shave off his hair today and any other idolater that didn't come that day out of the sea, of course, permitted to do business with him. What's it coming to exclude when we say only for that person? Lav Lafuki Mishabodov, isn't it coming to exclude those who are indebted to that man, that still it's permitted to do business with them, and that we don't say whatever they're going to buy, they're going to bring to that person who is serving his deity that day? Shema, no, you see this concept where it's only the one who's actually serving, not those who are meshubit to that person. For them, it's permitted to do business with them. Tanya Linda Braisa, so the Argus is Rabbi Shmuel, others bring down that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Oimi, he says, Yisrael Shabachutz Laaretz, a Jew out of Eretz Yisrael, the Jews out of Eretz Yisrael, Avodas Kachav Metaharhen. They worship Avodah Zarah with purity. In other words, without intent. In other words, they don't realize, but they're like worshiping Avodah Zarah. Ketzad, how so? Because Avi Kachav Meshasim Mishle B'Nai, when the idolater makes a wedding feast for his son, V'zimin Kal Yehudim Shabir, and he invites all the Jews to the city. Now, says Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Ava B'Sha'ichim Meshalehen. Even though the Jews are eating from their own kosher food, v'shaisim mishlan, they're drinking from their kosher drinks, v'shamashlan oimilafnem, they even have their own waiter serving their own food. Still, malalei makasav kila ochlu mizivch meisim, the pasuk can say as if they're eating from the sacrifices of the dead of the avodah zarah worship practices. Shemak says the pasuk in Shemais, v'karalachan, he's going to call you v'chaltim mizivch, and you're going to eat from his sacrifices. And that's the concern that we have, not making a covenant with those who live in Eretz Canaan, because of that one might come to eat from the sacrifices. So on that asked the Gemara, but ve'ema ad ochel, but maybe that's only until he eats from his stuff. How do you know it's a problem even just coming to the mishteh that is considered as if one is partaking from a avodah zarah? Amar Ravi says, because im kein, if that's the case, nemekra v'chalta mizivcha, the pasuk should only say, and that he eats from his sacrifices, that's problematic. My v'karalacha. What does the Pasuk saying that he will call you? What that tells you is Mishas Kriya. From the moment that he calls you, when you're called to him, already I consider regarding your eating, even if you're eating from your own kosher food, as if you ate from his Avodah Zarah sacrifices. And that's why he says that they don't realize that with purity, but they're serving Avodah Zarah out of Eretz Yisrael when they go to these non-Jewish parties. So Hilkach, therefore, as the Gemara continues to Amud Beis, Kol Tlasan Yoimin, all 30 days after he makes a festivity like a wedding, Bein Amarle, whether if the non-Jew tells to the Jew that it's Machmasi Lula, that I'm making this party because of the wedding of my son, which was in the last 30 days. Uvein Loi Amarle Machmasi Lula, even if he doesn't tell him that he's making the party because of that wedding, we could assume that his intent is because he had married off his son, and therefore Aser, forbidden, all those days, within 30 days of him marrying off his son, he's going to go ahead and sacrifice to his deity. But Mekama Eilech, after 30 days after the wedding, if he tells you, look, I'm making a party, Sam, because, you know, I married off my son, I'm still so thankful, then it's going to be forbidden because he's going to sacrifice to his deity. And it's like, if you go to such a party, but if after 30 days and he doesn't tell you it's because that he married off his son, because of some milestone, then it's permitted. Now, ask the Gemara, if he tells you that it's because of that celebratory event, so up until when? What, forever? For the rest of his life? If he says, oh, because the Hilul, it's going to be forbidden? On that, I'm probably, no, he says, until 12 months. After 12 months, maybe he's making for that, but he's not so excited, he's going to go and serve his deity. But up to 12 months, if he says it's because of the Hilulah, then it's forbidden to attend that party. And that's the Gemara, Umiyakara, and before he marries the wife, Me'emas Aser, before the wedding, how long is it forbidden? When are we concerned that it's already because of that event, that if he's inviting people to come to eat by him, that he's already celebrating, and therefore he's going to go serve his deity, and it's like, Achol Mezev Chemesim. So I'm a papa, Mishmei Derava, Mechirom Musari Ba'asinti. When they put the barley to make beer out of it for the wedding, which is in a certain container where they soak the barley to make beer, from if they're already making those preparations, he's already excited about the wedding. If he invites you over, it's we have to be concerned that it's because of the hilula, because of the wedding, and it's already forbidden because he's going to go ahead and thank his Avodah Zarah. Or another interpretation is that they would put earth in these containers, and they would plant barley before the wedding ceremony, and they would bring it in front of the bride and the groom when they would start sprouting, and they would say, you should be fruitful and multiply like these barleys who are the most quickest things to sprout from all types of grains, and therefore you should have that same element in your marriage. From that point on, even though the wedding is not yet, it's going to be forbidden to attend such a party. Now, ask the Gemara, will the Basa Tracy Yachishati Shari, is that really true like what we said, that after 12 months, even if he says it's because of the Ilula, it's permitted to attend that party? But Rav Yitzchak Barid Mershashi Ikla Lebea Huavit Kechavim, he went to a certain idolater's house, Labasa Tracy Yachishati, after 12 months, Vishami Da'idin, he heard that he's giving thanks to his deity, and Upirich Bloyachal, and he said, but he did not eat, yet we said even if he's doing it because of Ilula, after 12 months, it's permitted. So the Gemara, Shani Rav Yitzchak Barid Mershashi Da'odim Chashavu, because he's a distinguished individual, and the idolater was so happy that he was attending, so there, even after 12 months, it's still going to bring so much joy to him, and he's going to celebrate that by thanking his deity, and therefore it's forbidden even after 12 months. But a regular person, up to 12 months and not more. Now the Mishnah said one of the other Roman holidays is Ukratesim, Vechulu, and there, even 3 days before, it's forbidden to do business with them. Ask the Gemara, my kartesim, or maybe with the Mishmol, it's Yom Shetavsa by Roy Memalchus. It's when the Romans fought with the Greeks and conquered them and had an acquired world domination, world dominion, where they then ruled over the entire world. And that's their holiday, and that's forbidden even 3 days before. And they thank their deities for that conquering. And that is the Gemara. How can you say that? Because B'tan Linda Bryce, it says there's a holiday of kartesim, the Yom Shetavsa by Roy Memalchus, in the day that the Romans conquered the world, that they got the monarchy. So how can you say that's what Kartesim is? On that, Rav Yosef, he says, Shtei Tfisis Tavsa Raimi. There were two epic conquerings that Rome had done, and those are the two different things. Achas b'mei Cleopatra Malka. So one was during the reign of Queen Cleopatra of Alexandria of Egypt, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Nidah Daf Lamed Beis, and the Romans fought with her and conquered her, and then they took over that monarchy. That was a huge chunk of the world. That was the day that the Romans got the Malchus. But then, then there was another one, which was the world domination, which was, that's the one we're talking about, Kartasim, that they conquered the Greeks. Those are two different, there's Kartasim and there's Day Shatavsim by Ramamalchus of the Queen Cleopatra. As the Gemara says, the Chiyasar of Dimi Amai says, Tlasin betrayed Karvi, there were 32 wars, Avdi Remoi Bahadi Yivani, that the Romans waged against the Greeks. They weren't able to conquer the Greeks. Adishtafinu, until the Romans went and joined Liyisrael Bahadayu in the pact with the Jews. V'hachi asnu Bahadayu, and this is how the Romans stipulated with the Jewish people. Iminon Malchi, the Romans said, if we become the kings, Minaycha Hafrachi, from you are going to be the governors. Iminaycha Malchi, from you is going to be the kings, Minon Hafrachi, from us are going to be the governors. We're going to do this together. Now, B'shalchulahu Remoi Le'Yivani, and once they made the pact with the Jewish people, now the Romans sent a message to the Greeks as follows. It says, Ada idna, avidna b'krav. Up until now, we had been doing it with what's called might. Hashtan avid b'dina, now we're going to do it with what's right, meaning based on logic, versus up until now we were doing it with fighting a war. And they sent the following message. Margalus v'evin taiva, a pearl, which is not as chashav as a precious gem. If you have a pearl and a precious gem, so izem mehen yasa basal chavei, which one should be the base to hold the other one as a setting? So shalchu lahu, so the Greeks send back to the Romans, margalus levin taiva, the pearl, which is not as chashav, should be the setting for the precious gem. Okay, they send back another question. Evan taiva ve'enach, a precious gem, and enach, which is neifich, which Rashi translates as carbuncle, izem mehen yasa basal chavei, which one should be a setting for the other one? So on that, the Greeks sent back, Evan Tevel Enoch, the precious gem should be the setting for this Enoch, which is more precious. Okay, they sent back another question. Enoch v'sefer Torah. If you have this Enoch, which is more precious than the Evan Tevel and more than the pearl, and v'sefer Torah, and you have a Torah scroll, Ezemen Yasa Basla Chaveh, which one should be a setting for which? So they said, Enoch v'sefer Torah. The precious gem should be a setting, an adornment for the sefer Torah. So Shalchalahu, so the Romans sent back to the Greeks, Imkin, if that's the case, Anan Sefer Torah Gabon, we have the Sefer Torah by us, Yisrael Ba'adon, because the Jews are with us. And Kafalahu, and the Romans subdued the Greeks, and that's when they had world domination. Now, the Gemara tells us that Esrin V'shish Nin Kamalahu, for 26 years, the Romans kept Behemenuse with their faithfulness, Bahadi Yisrael, with their agreement, what they had made with the Jews. That for 26 years, they had a pact of peace. Where if we're the kings, you're the governors. But after the 26 years, they began to subjugate the Jews in defiance of their pact. So the Gemara asks, Meikara, originally, when the Romans kept their faithfulness, Maidarsh, what did the Romans expound that they saw fit that they should be even with the Jewish people? Well, Besayif, and after the 26 years, Maidarsh, what did they expound that they felt that they should be subjugating the Jewish people? So says the Gemara, Meikara Darsh, in the beginning they expound, like it says in Bereishis, that Yaakov Esav says to Yaakov, Nisa v'nelecha ve'elchan le'negdecha. Let us travel and go together and I'll go opposite you, meaning that Yaakov and Esav should be equal in greatness. And Rome is always the dynasty of Esav and the Jewish people, of course, of Yaakov. So they felt they should be equal. But B'Saif Darish, at the end, they expounded what it says afterwards. That Yaakov told to Esav, no, Yaver na adayni lefnei avdei, let my master go in front of his slave, which is that the minister, the king, is the one that always goes in front. And Yaakov was thus, through Maisa Avisim Labanim, illustrating that, no, that Esav, Rome, will go in front, and the Jewish people will be beneath that, will be subjugated, and therefore they then subjugated the Jewish people. So the Gemara asks, Esen v'shish nin de kamu be'emanuse b'hadi Yisrael manolim. Where do we know this exact number? That it was 26 years that the Romans were faithful and did not subjugate the Jewish people when they together conquered the Greeks. Dam Rav Kana, it's like as follows, like Rav Kana had said, Kishachol Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yisi, when Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yisi became ill, Sholcholei, so they sent him Rebbe, our teacher, Amr lonu shnayim v'gimel dvarim, shemarto lonu mishom avicha. Tell us the two, three different things that you told us in the name of your father. So Amr, he said to them, 180 years before the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchus Harshal Yisrael, the evil kingdom, that of the Romans, ruled, subjugated over the Jewish people. A different halacha, he told them, was Pei Shana Ad Leichar Vabayis, 80 years before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, Gazru Tumal Eretz Amim, the Jewish Chachamim, decreed that there should be Tuma on the lands of the nations, meaning out of Eretz Yisrael. And Vakli's Chuchas, and that regarding glass utensils should also be Mekabel Tumah. A third halacha, he told them, we're going from 180 to 80, to Mem Shana Ad Lechar V'Bayis, 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, calls the Sanhedrin, the highest court of Sanhedrin, although they were always in the Lishkas HaGazas in the Beis HaMikdash, they went into exile. V'yashav lo b'chanos, and then they settled in Chanos, which is a place on the Temple Mount, which is called Chanos, but just not in the Lishkas HaGazas, which is the chamber of hewn stone where the Sanhedrin is supposed to sit. So ask the Gemara l'may helcha, so what halachic ramification does that have to tell us that they left? To tell you that from that point on, they didn't adjudicate any more cases of penalty, like case of rape and seduction, and if killing a slave, that it's going to be 30 shkalim, where the Torah gives a set amount, whether if the individual is precious or cheap. And because that's what a knas is, always has the same amount. Now, once the Sanhedrin were no more in the Lishka Sagazis, they didn't adjudicate anymore, and they stopped being dan dini knasis. Because like it says by Teshlumi Kefil, which is another type of a knas, that it says Asher Yashin Elikim, that the Elikim will judge these cases. And that refers to those which are proficient in law, and they have smicha, they have rabbinic ordination to be called a rabbi, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, where someone that doesn't have smicha cannot judge and educate din the knas's laws of penalty. So once they left the Lishka Sagazis, then they stopped being down din the knas. That is the Gemara, Dina Knas Lakadaja, can really entertain that at that point, 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they really stopped judging cases of penalty. But Amar Yehuda Marav, he says, Barim, however, Zachar Oysa Isla Tev, we should recall that man for the good. For Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shmai, and his name is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Shalmali, who, if not for him, Nishtakhu Dina Knas Misal, the laws of penalties would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. On that, I say, Nishtakhu, it would have been forgotten. Like Gristino, go ahead and learn it. What do you mean forgotten? Rather, without him, it would have been but Ludina Knesset Yisrael. The laws of educating laws of penalty would have ceased to be from the Jewish people. Why? Because the wicked Roman government decreed a decree that Kol HaSameach Yaharik, whoever gives ordination will be killed. They wanted to wipe out the Jewish tradition. V'chol HaNismach Yaharik, whoever gets ordination will be killed. V'ir Shasemchem Batechar, and the city where the ordination is done in will be destroyed. V'tchum Shasemchem Bay, and the 2,000 Amma boundary around the city, what's known as Tchum Shabbos, if that the smicha will be done in that, Ya'akah will be uprooted. So Ma'aser Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, so what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? It was impossible to find any way to do it without causing major destruction. So Halach V'yashav Men Shnei Harim Gedolim, he went and he sat between two great mountains. U'bein Shtei Ayaros Gedolim, between two great cities. Bein Beis Tchum Shabbos, between two boundaries of cities beyond the 2,000 Amma limits, which was Bein Usha L'Shafram, so he wasn't near anywhere that would cause that city to be destroyed. V'samach Sham Chamisha Zekeinim, and it was there where he ordained five elders. And they were Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yisi, Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar ben Shemua. Now Reb Avya Ma'isev Afrem Nechemi, he added on that there was a sixth one also, that of Reb Nechemi. Now Kivin Shekirubem Oyevim, but once the enemies recognized and saw what he was doing, so Amalehem, he said to the five Zekeinim, Banai Rutsu, my sons, run, flee. They said to him, Rabbi, our teacher, Va'atamate Alecha, what's going to be with you? The Romans are coming. Amalemi said to them, Harei nimutu lefneim ke'evan she'en lo'hefchen, don't worry, I'm going to stall them. I'm going to be like a stone that can't be turned over. I'm going to stop them, and you'll be able to escape. Amru, they said, lo'izaz mersham, they didn't move from there, the Romans, achenatsu l'gufe gimel meis lulani yishalbaz, until they pierced his body with 300 spears of iron. V'asuhu l'gufe kikvar, and they made his body like a sieve, which has all these holes to sift through that. The one thing the Gemara is asking is, these rabbis, this incident, were all after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, very long after. And this was regarding the Dini Knossos that he was passing on to them by doing smicha. So how can you say that 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they really stopped Dini Knossos? So rather, Amrav Nachum Yitzchak says, Leitim Adin Knossos. Don't say that they stopped judging Dini Knossos. Elishlei Donu Dini Nefashis. They stopped executing capital punishment. My time, what's the reason? Kivin the Chazud in the Fishalah Lahu Reitzchak, once they saw that there was an increase of murderers, V'lo Yachal Maiden, and they weren't able to adjudicate all those court cases. So Amrav, they said, Mutiv Nikli Lemi Makam Lemakam. Better we leave as the Sanhedrin and go into exile from place to place. Kehech Dole Lechaivu, so that the murderers do not become guilty of being executed, because we cannot judge capital punishment, even a lower court in every city, only as long as the Sanhedrin HaGadol is in its place, which is distinct for it, which is the Lishkas HaGazas, which is the chamber of hewn stone. And that we know because the Chesubik says, the Pasuk in Devarim says, Vasisa al pi hadavi, should do based on the word, Ashi yigid l'cha menamakam ahu, which they tell you from that place. Melamed Shamakim Gerim, that teaches that the place of the Lishkas Hagazis is what causes the guilty verdict of the defendant. And if the Sanhedrin are not there, then they cannot judge him. Because that pasuk is Toma B'din Nefashas, like it says, Ki Yipolim Chadavah, which is in Parashat Shaiftim, regarding the Zaka Mamre, when they're disputing the Halacha, they go up to the highest court, but it has to be only in their place where they are, and only then can they decide capital punishment. They left 40 years before because they couldn't do it anymore, and they stopped being Dam Din Nefashas. Now, the Gemara goes now and continues, and now explains one of those three Halachas that he said from his father, which will then ultimately prove this halacha that for 26 years the Romans did not subjugate the Jews. Mevishmeinim, he had said from his father that 180 years before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash is when the Romans started ruling over the Jewish people. On that is Gemara Mevishmeinim Besuloy, and not more than that. But Ratani Rabbi Yisi Beribi, as we continue on top of Testament Aleph, he taught the following brisa: Malchus Pras, the Persian kingdom, Befnei Habayis, in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash when it was still built, meaning after Kairish, who was the king of Persia, built it. So his kingdom, his reign continued into the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, Shleishim v'arba shana, 34 years. And then it ceased, and then the Greeks took control. Malchus Yavam b'fnei Abayis, the Greek kingdom, ruled during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, for Mehu Shmeinim shana, for 180 years, which is a total of 214. Now, the Chashmonaim then took over control from the Greeks, as we know from the Chanukah story. Malchus Chashmonaim b'fnei Abayis, the reign of the Chashmonaim during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, was Mei v'shalish, was 103 years. Now Malchus Beis Hurdus, who was a slave from the remnants of the Chashmonaim, he then reigned Mei v'shalish, 103 years, which makes for a total of 420 years, which was exactly how long the second Beis Hamikdash was around. Mikan ve'elach, from the kingdom of Hurdus and onward, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and his kingdom ceased to be, Tzei v'chashev, then whoever wants to count the order of the sages in their lives, or wants to calculate, as we'll see on the next daf, the years of a document, or any event in history, he should start counting from the destruction from this point on, that Kama Shanim Achar Churban HaBayis, how many years it is from the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which starts after that point, after Malchus Hordas. That's that brisa. But one thing the Gemara wants to point out, Alma Masn Vishishav, so we see that the reign of the Romans was 206 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, because we said previously that the Romans with the Jewish people are who took over from the reign of the Greeks. And here we see that the Jewish people ruled in the second Beis Hamikdash for 206 years, because you had 103 years of Malchus Beis Chashmonaim plus 103 years of Hordas is 206. And that was all together with the Romans. So why are we saying that Va'at Amrit, yet you're saying maybe Shmayim Haba, that was only 180 years. El Rebbe, this is what the Gemara concludes, because Esn v'shishnin kamu b'menasayu b'hadisol, because for 26 out of those 206, the Romans kept their faithfulness with the Jewish people. V'lo yishtabd b'hu, and they did not subjugate them. V'amat l'hachi like a chashavu, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel did not count when he said, k'shapash t'malchus ershal Yisrael, when how much the Romans ruled over the Jewish people, did not count those 26 years, because then they were partners and had a pact with the Jewish people, and therefore only counted as 180 years. That proves the idea that we said that for 26 years, the Romans kept their faithfulness with the Jewish people and did not subjugate them.